I know a lot of you guys who are listening to this podcast are driving around somewhere, but you could be making money while you're driving around when you become a driver for Lyft, because it's a great way to earn some extra money and get an extra $500 bonus when you're driving for Lyft. If you're in between jobs looking to earn some extra money, or looking to save up for something you're trying to do, or even someone who just loves people, working on your social game, you could become a driver for Lyft, the ride-sharing app that lets you be your own boss, pick out your own hours, and earn up to $1,500 in a week driving your car. Now, there's a lot of other ride-sharing apps out there, but everyone likes driving for Lyft the best because they treat their drivers right. Lots of people who started as customers drive for Lyft. I prefer to take a Lyft anywhere that I'm going because I don't want to drive. I need to be tweeting, and I can't if I'm driving a car. It's a flexible way to make some extra money anytime, anywhere. All you need is a car. Driving for Lyft could pay up to $35 an hour, and getting started is fast and easy. You could drive mornings, nights, weekends, flip into driver mode, and start making money. Plus, only Lyft drivers can earn tips from within the app, and they add up fast. So you don't have to wait weeks or days to get paid. Cash out instantly with Express Pay. It all adds up. It's super flexible. You keep your own tips and get paid when you need extra cash. So sign up today at Lyft.com/RHAP. And right now, Lyft has a special offer for our listeners. Get this, a $500 new driver bonus when you sign up using our show, Lyft.com/RHAP. So you could start making some extra money and get that $500 new driver bonus. That's Lyft.com/RHAP. Lyft.com/RHAP. Coming live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who finally has made it to a final two, one way or another. I'm Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the finals of the So You Think You Can Podcast competition. It has been about 4 weeks to get to this point. 10 competitors walked into the arena, and now we are left with but two, who joined me for the first time here on Rob Has a Podcast. No reality TV wrap-ups tonight. We are ready to talk with our final two, who sit before a jury of the world, ready to answer their questions in the final two. In alphabetical order, let's first welcome from Team Alex here to the finals, Adam Bongiovanni. Adam, how are you?
Good. This is surreal and crazy, and you just hit the bell, and it's all a new experience, and my face is on the board, and Melissa's face is on the board, and I'm freaking out.
Yes. Well, don't freak out too much. We got a lot to do here tonight, as we are going to be taking questions and talking with you both about the final two of So You Think You Can Podcast. And then also joining us here for the first time, representing Team Taryn, here is Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
Good. I'm terrified. This is crazy. This feels like, just as he said, so surreal. Like, our faces are on there and we're hearing the buzzer and we're talking to you. I've never talked to you before. This is crazy.
Yeah, I've never talked to either of you before. I have been very closely monitoring all of the shows leading to this point, including the podcast you guys did with the great Mike Bloom over the weekend, yes, which I thought was very fun. And good job. If anybody is looking for some more information about the two of you, I like that we got to learn a little bit about your backstories. A fun podcast with Mike Bloom. That's up on the website right now. All right. So here's what we're going to do here tonight. Of course, we're going to talk through the latest events going on in the Big Brother OTT house as we get set for ultimately a competition which will determine whether Morgan or Justin moves on to the final three. We will have the finale of the Big Brother OTT coming up on Thursday. Jordan Parhar will be live after the finale this week, and we will announce the winner of the So You Think You Can Podcast competition on finale night. So we will crown a winner of BBOTT and So You Think You Can Podcast all in one night. Just to give a little more clarity and transparency into how we're going to make this final decision, there will be a vote up after this. The tabulator has been working very hard throughout the month of November on the So You Think You Can Podcast vote. We'll have a link up on the show page after the show. We will take a look at the vote. That will be one part of how we make the decision. The other part will be the executive committee of the LFC, plus Jordan, plus Scott St. Pierre, They will all cast a vote. And then in case of a tie, I will have the final say. Okay. So that's ultimately how we will make this decision as we get here tonight. But so here's what I would like to start to do. Let's talk a little bit about Big Brother as we would on the show. And then we'll get into the questions. Hashtag RHAP. And the way that I'd like to sort of approach this is the LFC are tired. They have been podcasting really since March about Big Brother. And it's hard for them. I watched the show, The Happy Hour, last night. They came into it. They didn't have a lot left to say about BBOTT. That they're out of gas. I need you guys to get me excited about this final week of BBOTT. All right. Does anybody want to jump in first to that question? Give me a reason to be excited. And don't say because it's going to be over.
Oh, no. There's way more than it's just because it's going to be over. There's a small chance that we could see Christy Ridolfi win Big Brother over the top. If that doesn't excite you, I really don't know what would excite you.
Is that a reason to get excited?
I think we'll have riots. There'll be riots in the streets outside of the Big Brother house, so that'd be pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And other than that, though, today, like, if you, I don't know if you guys watched the feeds at all. They slept for most of the day. They got up and Chrissy went to the diary room and found out that the backyard is closing. So another tidbit of exciting information. Nobody else really talked. It was a very boring day, and that was pretty much what happened in the Big Brother house today. So very exciting.
Melissa, do you have any spin on trying to make these last few days of BBOTT exciting?
No, I think it is very exciting. Not these past couple days, but the upcoming couple days. We've got the competition that's coming up. We have, you know, we have the finale that's coming up. And I think that it's exciting because this is the first BBOTT winner that will be crowned. And the first Big Brother winner, well, okay, if you don't count season one, that's going to be crowned by America. So I think that this could pave the way for future BBOTT seasons, if there are any. And, you know, it can change the fandom and change the show. So I think it's actually very exciting. These past couple of days, maybe not so exciting. But the upcoming days, very exciting.
Okay, so heading into this week's vote, it seems like it's a foregone conclusion that Jason most likely will win this season. And based on the prior interviews that I've seen you guys give, that I feel like that you would rather see a different outcome than Jason winning this season. Have I misrepresented anything so far?
I don't think it's that I'd rather see someone else win. I think that it depends who ends up in the final three. I think that if Morgan's in the final three, I'd like to see Morgan get it, if I'm being honest. But at the same time, Jason has played a good game. And I think that while America has helped him throughout the game, I think he's played a much better game than Chrissy and Justin. And I think that the only one who's even like comparable to him is Morgan. So if it's not Morgan in the finale, then I would like to see Jason win.
Going into this, I appreciated the fact that we all knew Jason was such a big fan of Big Brother, and for him to get this other opportunity, it was fantastic. And I wanted him to win for a very long time. And then of course everything went down where he bashed Shelby and he bashed everyone in the house. And I think if he hadn't done that, a lot more people would be rooting for him right now because there'd be no reason to bring up how big of his advantage was. But I think he really shined a really bright light on his advantage when people started looking for reasons why he shouldn't win. And now, look, Morgan had an advantage too, but nobody's talking about that as much because she's played a solid social game. She has a really good relationship with America, and people really are starting to like Morgan a lot. And people have liked her this whole time because she hasn't given anyone a reason not to like her. So the super fan in me wants Jason to win because I know he'd appreciate it, but I think Morgan is the epitome of an underdog, and it'd be cool to see her win too.
Okay. Can you guys crystallize the case for me why Jason should not win against Justin or Morgan? Do either of you want to hop on that grenade?
Yeah. I'll hop on the grenade. Okay, so I want to start with Justin because I think I've seen a lot on Reddit that people are saying he deserves it more than Jason. And I think a big reason for that is because he does have a social game. You know, Jason's kept the social game with his little alliance, but Justin's been social this whole time. And getting Whitney to flip sides was something that if she didn't go home on that crazy double eviction, it would have changed the whole path of the game. And we have to give him credit there. Then he was the only one of the LNJ who was capable of infiltrating the alliance of Morgan and Shelby at Final Five and set himself up for that care package. He didn't make any moves that hurt him like Jason did, where Jason made up that fake Final Five. So, maybe strategically or owning the alliance and controlling the alliance, Jason has the upper hand over Justin. But I think from a social point of view, and I think right now Justin is more likable, I think Justin has a case to make.
Let's see, you want to weigh in on that, why Justin should win over Jason?
I think that what Adam said, I think that Justin's social game is far and above beyond Jason's social game. I think that Jason's been playing a terrible social game this whole time. I mean, he's gotten very close to his LNJ alliance, but everybody else, not only has he not gotten close to them, but he's totally pushed them away. So I think that social game-wise, he's just not doing anything. But Justin, on the other hand, has. And I think that he was the only one. I think that if this were a classic like jury season, I think that Justin might actually have a much better shot than Jason, just because like of the friendships that he made with people in the house and the way that he didn't, you know, make anyone feel, you know, horrible. So, yeah, I definitely think that Justin could have a chance.
Here's my question for the both of you. That Jason is in this house. Has he consciously made a decision to change the way that he is playing this game because it's OTT and not Big Brother 19? Has he looked at the chessboard and said, look, all I need to do is keep my people loyal, play an us versus them game, appeal to my base, get them to keep voting for me? Could we say that the way he has played this game is strategy, Adam?
Yeah, you can say that. But as somebody who's a diehard fan like Jason, who knows the ins and outs of Big Brother America and also Big Brother versions that require fans to vote, he even said, I don't know if America hates me. I don't know what's going on. And he knows that at the end of the day, America is voting for him. So the fact that he is bashing Shelby and he's bashing the other side, I think that's him letting the Jason Roy come out as a person outside of the house and not staying in game mode, Jason. And he's at the point where he doesn't care. So yes, he's done a good job at keeping his soldiers loyal, but he's really dropped the ball socially, and that's going to affect him in the long run. And even if he does win, it's going to affect him.
Melissa?
Yeah, I think if anything, he's playing the opposite of a game that should be played if you're trying to cater to America. I think that he usually you want to go for jury management, or in this case, America management. And he's definitely not managing America very well. If anything, he's lost a ton of goodwill that he had built up in his season and in the beginning of this season. I mean, people were like so excited when he won that veto. And now it's like people are just like begging to get him out, with like websites being made about him and people tweeting all this Never Jason stuff. It's just like, you know, he's totally blowing it.
Melissa, could you argue that the only miscalculation that Jason made this season was that he underestimates the popularity of the of the Ball Smashers, of Shelby, of the Willett sisters, where in Big Brother 17, talking trash about the Nolan sisters, people really ate that up. And he's going by the same playbook. It just so happens that we like the people that he's dissing on this time.
I remember back then that people didn't necessarily like all of his like bagging on the Nolan sisters. I think that some of the comments were funny and then some of it got too offensive, especially with like Davon and them calling him like thickums and stuff. Like, it just was a little like people were kind of turned off by that. And I think that like he should be trying to, I mean, if he wants to like get people to like his side or whatever, like that's fine. But then I think secretly he should go off on his own and apologize to them or be nice to them and like to them. So that way he at least builds up some sort of goodwill. Like, hey guys, like I know my side doesn't really like you very much, but like, I'm okay with you. I have no problems with you. Or at least try and like build up something even before they leave. I feel like that was something that Derek had like in the bag, is he would always go up to people right before they left and make sure that they were cool with him. And it was his alliance that was doing all of this. So I think that, you know, he's just not doing that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the latest happenings in the house and the brewing feud between Jason and Justin. Do either of you have a strong take on this, where you want to set that up?
I guess, well, what it comes down to is, of course, all the comments that were made in Thanksgiving dinner, and then they're not friends anymore. Justin has said, I don't want to hang out with you outside of this house. He's told Morgan, I don't want to associate with anyone from this game in my outside experience. Like,
why?
He's done with them. And I think it's because he's seeing them, he's seeing Chrissy and Jason for the game they played now. He's starting to realize, okay, they've played a little bit of a snakish game. And Justin, who's not a fan of Big Brother, might be like, okay, well, like, you shouldn't do that. When, in all fairness, as the comments we all don't agree with that Jason has made, the game is about lying and backstabbing and getting yourself further. And I think that really took Justin by surprise, and he doesn't understand. He doesn't think that's okay. So I think he's just caught off guard by the game that Big Brother is, and it's a lot bigger than him and his personality.
Melissa, what do you feel about Justin versus Jason at this point?
I think a lot of it is that Shelby left and Jason kind of needed somebody to bag on now that Shelby's gone. And I think that Justin also is starting to realize, I mean, Chrissy and Jason this whole time, or mostly Chrissy, have been saying, like, these are my friends. We're not in an alliance. Like, we don't have an alliance. We're friends. And now that they're he's starting to realize that her and Jason this whole time have been like a twosome when he thought they were all friends and there was no alliance. So I think he's starting to realize that he's on the outs, and that makes him not want to hang out with them because he feels betrayed. And then they see that he's not hanging out with them and they take it personally. And, you know, it just starts to build and build until eventually everything he does is annoying them.
If Justin is in the final three against Jason and Chrissy, I think that Justin should lose because that he had the chance that he could have taken out Jason at the final four and he did not. And Jason is not going to the jury. He loses to Jason under just about any scenario. I think that Justin should be disqualified from people voting for him based on this lack of strategic foresight. Melissa, is that fair or unfair?
I think it's fair. I mean, I think that people might still vote for him regardless, but I think in terms of strategy, Justin didn't have a strategy most of the game. I mean, the majority of the game, there was only certain glimpses where you'd be like, oh my God, Justin, like, you're actually doing something. And then he'd go back and, like, you know, lay back down and be like, oh, it's all good. And you'd be like, oh, wait, no, he's not doing anything. So, you know, strategy-wise, if people are voting for strategy, which hopefully a lot of people are, he's not going to get it.
Yeah. That, Adam, I know you talked about the social game of Justin, but I mean, could that be enough to just say, like, oh, he was likable to go through it? And we lost Adam for a moment, so we'll get him back in a second. But do you want to touch on this? Where just in terms of like that, he was likable, he was fun, he sang a song about pizza, but why should that be enough? Why should people vote for him over somebody who played this game hard for the 60 some odd days of BBOTT?
It's not enough. The pizza song is not nearly enough to win the game. I think that that's not nearly enough. You have to do at least something, or the game of Big Brother isn't just about sitting back and being funny. If he's trying to win, like, you know, America's favorite player, then yeah, for sure, that could, you know, get him that. But, like, overall, like, definitely not enough to win the game, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. Adam is back with us.
Yes,
he may have inherited his mentor, Alex Kidwell's internet connection.
It's the curse, right? It's the curse. It happened yesterday. It's happening today. Sorry, guys.
Yes. Can you just make the case for me in terms of that? Yes, Justin has played a good social game and he has been more likable and probably more charismatic in a vacuum than Jason has over the course of the season. But he's not been without personal attacks himself. I mean, I understand the Morgan argument more than the Justin argument in terms of going against Jason.
Oh, yeah. At the end of the day, it's, in my opinion, it's between Morgan and Jason. But I just like looking at the Justin point of view, just because, you know, there's a solid chance he could be in the finals against just, like, he's not making it with Morgan, you know? So he's going to be there against Jason, and we're not going to vote for Chrissy. So if we're choosing between one or the other, it's good to have arguments for both. So I just want to look at it from both sides and see, maybe there's a chance that I throw my vote Justin's way. But right now, if it were Justin or Jason, I would go with Jason.
Okay. Let's talk about the Morgan versus Jason battle. And again, this all might be a moot point if she does not win the competition coming up on Tuesday night. And just as a programming note, Alex Willett will be joining us on Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. So either we will have a very happy Alex Willett campaigning for Morgan, or a very sad Alex Willett trying to come up with a reason for us to abstain or vote for Chrissy or some other. We'll see what she has to say. But all right. So Melissa, can you make a case for Morgan without using any sort of Jason was a mean person this summer or this winter?
I think that Morgan played a great strategic game. I think that
What did she do?
I think that she was able to keep the sister twist a secret for the entire time until they decided to tell it, which is like just very impressive. And I think that she won when she needed to win. Sometimes when she didn't win when she needed to win, but for a lot of the time she did win when she needed to win. And I think that in terms of her social game, it's above and beyond, at least right now. I mean, she's, everybody wants Morgan to win.
Above and beyond what? Jason, that she was a fan favorite?
No, I mean, in terms of like getting the rest of the people to like her. I mean, Jason and Chrissy are rooting for Morgan right now. And so is Justin. So, I mean, if Justin doesn't get through, he wants Morgan to win. He even told everyone yesterday, vote for Morgan. Like, if she's in the finals, fans, if I have any, vote for Morgan. So, I mean, and Chrissy's helping her study. It's just very impressive that she's able to get these people who, like, hated her just a couple weeks ago to totally be on her side and be rooting for her to win this next competition. I just think it's really impressive.
Adam, should that mean anything in BBOTT if the people who were going to be in a traditional jury might vote for her in the end?
No, I don't think it should. And also with the sister twist, like she really, it wasn't the fact that she hit, of course she hit it well, but it was the, her house guys didn't, Jason might've questioned it what once. So I don't know. I understand where you'd give her credit there, but I don't think she deserves an abundance of credit because she didn't really have to do much. They were all just like, oh yeah, two blonde girls, whatever. So what I'm more impressed with Morgan, and I think a lot of Big Brothers in the past few seasons, we're seeing people kind of evolve. You know, she started out this game, she made good social ties with Monty, with Shelby, Scott, of course, Alex, but she hid herself behind them and she never overrated her game in the diary room. She said, I'm playing this, I'm showing everyone that I'm a weak player. She was very self-deprecating and she didn't talk herself up, but as time went on, she definitely grew a lot as a social player. And you know what, maybe she didn't grow as much as like Paul or a Cass from BB Canada 4, but she still grew and evolved and grew as a player. And that's something that I think Jason, especially with his social game and how he didn't maintain alliances with the other side, he regressed while she progressed.
Okay. We have so much, you know, speculation about this vote coming up on Wednesday, but I want to do a little bit of a thought exercise in terms of just looking at how your beautiful Big Brother minds work. Let's talk about BBOTT as if it was a traditional season of Big Brother. Who's the final two? If this was, we started out the same 12 house guests coming into the house September 28th, we turn it on, but America is not a factor. We can have care packages since there were care packages in BB18, but this is just a regular game. Let's just take the America's nominee out of the mix. All right, Melissa, do you have a take on who would be in the final two?
I think it's totally possible that we end up with a Jason Chrissy final two. I mean, I definitely see Chrissy in the final two, but I'm not so sure about Jason because even Scott was saying that one of the main reasons they decided not to target Jason was after, you know, Cornbread got out because he had just tried to target Jason. So they all thought that maybe Jason was loved by America and they shouldn't go against him. So there's the possibility that Jason could have gotten out super early and I could see that. But I definitely think Chrissy ends up in the final two. And, you know, it could be Scott in the final two or Alex or Jason. So it's tough to say, but I think that it could have ended up playing out very similarly.
And if Jason and Chrissy are in a BB traditional season final two, is the jury going to award Jason the vote?
I would hope so, but I think that juries can be very bitter, as we can even see that America is turning kind of into a bitter jury when they're saying that they want to just forget the whole thing and give it to Chrissy. So it's totally possible. I mean, emotions are high and you know, people can't necessarily control them.
Adam, how do you see BBOTT being if it was a BB 18 and a half?
I think it goes a completely different way. Like, we saw, even with the majority in the LNJ, 6 out of 10 HOHs were won by members of the Ball Smasher Alliance and of course, Monty. And what I think would actually happen is the LNJ and Jason get picked off pretty early. Maybe someone like Chrissy sticks around. But if the LNJ does have power, they're going to take out people like Monty, Alex, and Scott. So I think that leaves the Whitneys, who she might have never flipped to the other side had there not been America's Vote or Jason or Justin trying to campaign for her. So to me, I think it'd be a Shelby and Morgan final two, because the bigger targets get taken out. Shelby still plays that strong end game, and I think unless they're bitter, Shelby would win.
Okay. In a couple days, the BBOTT cast will all be out of the house. Jason will return to the internet to find a world which will be very different than the one that he left. And I think that he probably will be surprised how much the support he has from some people, and then also how much animosity there is towards him. Adam, how do you think that Jason handles life outside the BBOTT house?
I think on the exterior, he's going to say, you know what, I don't care what you hookers are saying, like, and he's going to play this tough guy role. Maybe if we're lucky, we'll get an apology to Shelby and the things he said about her. But I think this also goes back to BB17. If he was in the house as long as he was now, even if it's like 2 extra weeks, 3 extra weeks, he could have gotten in the same amount of trouble. We don't know what he would have said. He was taken out way before he was able to be monstrous to the rest of the house. So I think he's going to come out and embrace the hate. I think he knows Big Brother enough to know where he has to embrace the fact that he has his niche audience. He has his loud audience, but embrace the fact that you're a villain. Don't shy away from it. Say, you know what? I said those things. I sucked. You could hate me. That's what you get. I'm a Big Brother fan. I understand the hate.
Melissa, do you think that Jason reaches across the aisle upon getting out of the BBOTT house, or do you think that he really just continues to play to his base?
I think that it really depends on whether he wins or loses. I think that if he wins, then he's going to be like, you know, like Adam said, just like, oh, I don't care. Like, I played the game, da, da, da. But I think if he loses, I think that he might say, you know, tensions are high, like in the house. I'm sorry for some of the things that I said. You know, a lot of it was in jest or whatever he wants to say, and make some sort of apology. But I think that if he wins, then he's going to stand by it. Because, I mean, that means America voted for him. That means the majority of America is behind him, or the majority of watchers are behind him. So I think that he's going to embrace it if he wins.
Yeah, I think that it's easier to sort of like be all in on being hard on somebody when they're in the house. I think that he probably ends up winning people over when he gets out of the house. I think that once he gets on Twitter or Periscope and then starts, you know, instead of talking about Shelby, if he's talking about hashtag Glenn Exposed Party, I think that people will be back to eating out of the palm of his hands.
But also with Jason, he understands like the fandom of Big Brother. He knows what he has to say to kind of win them back over. Like, he's not dumb. He's the one who tweeted when Paulie got it, when everyone was bashing Paulie, he said, okay, now everyone don't go online and ask him for a follow after this. So he understands what he has to do. So he's going to have people say, look, dude, you were hated. Like, just own up to it and apologize, or do what you have to do, and you'll win everyone back. Because the Big Brother audience is very fair weather. They'll go back and forth. They'll accept Jason with open arms if he does what he has to do.
Yeah, I think he's actually uniquely positioned out of the late night jamboree to sort of make that pivot going back to come January, yeah, tweeting about Celebrity BB UK. Whereas what's the rest of the late night jamboree going to be tweeting about for the rest of forever? I feel like that Jason is going to go back to talking about reality shows and Big Brother. But if like your Twitter presence is just to bash the other side of the house from your season, Melissa, what does that look like going forward after BBOTT?
I think people are just going to stop following. I think that, you know, it just gets old after a while. And when the cast members aren't relevant anymore, it's kind of like, what's the point? Why do we even care? So I think that, and I mean, like, back to the Jason thing, I think that Jason, to me, has a very charming personality when he wants to be charming. And I think that, I don't know if other people feel the same way, but I know that when I'm watching him and he's like bashing people and I'm like, wow, that's terrible, why are you doing that? Then like, if he starts being nice to people and he like makes a funny joke, I'm like immediately back in on his team. So like, I don't know. I really struggle with Jason because I think that he can win people over super easily. So I think he has a good chance of, you know, turning it around once he gets out.
Yeah. How gracious do you think that he will be in his pitch to America for why he should vote for him? Do you think that Jason will be more like, listen, you better vote for me, I was the best? Or do you think that he will be sort of more gracious and be trying to appeal to more voters than he might be if he went with a little more vitriol in the final two? Either of you.
I think that he'll be very gracious. I think that when he sits by himself on the hammock and just talks to America, he's very self-deprecating. And I think that his main thing will just be, he respects the game. So I think that that's going to play a huge part in his speech, is just how much he respects it, how grateful he is to be there, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I think that, I think he'll say he played the best game, but I think he'll do it in a way that's not just like blowing everyone away. Like, I did all this, this is all me. I think even today he was talking about Chrissy and he said that, well, Chrissy did everything behind the scenes, but it was a lot harder in front of the scenes. Like, I'll give Chrissy credit where it's due, he said. But he was like, I did all the hard work right in the front, the foreground of everyone. So I think he's going to, you know, pay respects, but at the same time, be self-deprecating.
Yeah, to me, we see there's two Jason Roys. There's the one in the house who could be angry and feisty, and that's Jason. At the end of the day, that's who we're getting. Like, that's Jason Roy. But I don't like when Jason goes into the diary room and acts phony and pretends to be nice. Like, that's not him. So for me as a fan, I'd appreciate him coming up and saying, you know what? I respect these two girls. I respect that Morgan was the underdog, but I did play the best game. I want him to own it, and I want him to own that he was angry and made mistakes and didn't play the best social game, but he won competitions when he had to. He had his alliance Danielle literally said she'll die on the sword for him. She did what Scott did to Alex. So I think that is impressive. And the only thing that I think I worry about that could hurt him are the LNJ and how they're LNJing it outside of the house. Like, Danielle's making periscopes or videos about how she hopes Shelby didn't pass the bar. Like, and for people seeing that, they might take that out on Jason and say, you know what, I'm going to vote for Morgan because Shane's been bitter for the last 6 weeks, and Neely's tweeting about this, and I feel like the ball smashers are handling it with a lot more class.
But do you really believe there's any undecided voters out there? I mean, we went through the whole thing with the election where if they, uh-huh. they kept talking about the undecideds. Are there any undecided BBOTT viewers? I mean, I can understand if people are undecided between, I don't know if I'm going to vote for Morgan or Justin if they get to the final two, but whoever's there, I'm voting for them. But do you think that there's somebody that's really sort of deciding between the two sides, Adam?
Well, as for me, the only I could speak for myself, and I know that I'm still like going back and forth. Like, I was originally all Team Jason just because I enjoyed him as a super fan. I enjoyed him in BB17, but then as I saw what happened, and not even what he said as much as the game he started playing and how bad socially he was, I started like flopping back and forth. So I'm undecided, and I still don't know who I'm voting for, and so I do think there are undecided people out there flopping back and forth.
Well, so do you think that there's a big undecided contingent?
I think so. I mean, yeah, like Adam, it's like, I know personally I'm undecided because it really, I mean, I guess I won't be undecided once, you know, somebody wins the next competition and gets in and we know officially who the final three are, then I might not be so undecided. But at this point in time, I'm undecided. It really depends if Justin or Morgan gets in the final three. So I think there's a lot of people out there who are weighing their options between everyone and trying to see, you know, who do I vote for?
Hear me out on this. I think it's actually a more interesting final three in terms of the actual ceremony if Justin makes it to the final three with Jason, more so than Morgan, because I think that Morgan is going to be very gracious. I think that she is going to give you a lot of pageant-y answers. Yeah. In terms of, she's not going to say anything that's going to upset Jason if there's any sort of Q&A from the jury that we end up seeing on the show. But I feel like that Justin is the wild card. I think that Justin is the person who could potentially say something that sends Jason on tilt. Melissa, do you see a scenario where Jason ends up getting really upset or flustered because of Justin in the final three if he's there?
I could see it, but I feel like Jason kind of has this ability to just like cloak everything and like, oh, that's good. Oh, I appreciate that. You know, like when Morgan did her whole speech where she went off on each individual person, then he was able to just be like, oh, that was great. That was on fire or whatever, you know, just being able to just like brush it off. And then also, you know, when Shelby revealed she's a lawyer, when Morgan revealed the sister thing, he's like, oh, yeah, I thought there was something weird. But he didn't let it, like, show on his face or an emotional reaction or anything. It was just totally even keel.
Yeah, but at the same time, Jason has never had someone challenge the fact that he could win Big Brother. This means so much to him. So if Justin hits him below the belt or says something crazy, it could send that little grocery boy off and he could flip out and do something that'll really damage his chances to win. You know, we don't know. Because this means a lot to Jason.
Yeah, it could be interesting to see if it does get contentious. And we just don't know what that final three process is going to look like, whether there will be a jury questioning period, whether we will see that. We know that the other cast members are going to somehow be involved in the finale, but we just have so many unknowns in terms of what this is going to look like. All right, so speaking of jury questions, what I'd like to do is open up the floor to the listeners of the podcast, the people watching here in the chat. We got a really nice audience right now. Hashtag RHAP if you want to get your questions in for Adam and Melissa here on our final two. How are you guys feeling? Good?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Good to go.
All right. So let's start off with some of these questions that the great Scott St. Pierre has pulled behind the scenes. And this is one from Iron Pony Chef. If there's an OTT2, should there be a comp where, due to house guest actions, America could be the HOH? I mean, do we want to see potentially America more involved in an OTT2? Or do we want to see America less involved? Because the one thing that you can say about BBOTT, boy, people are passionate about this thing. You know, we thought that this was a thing 3 months ago. We didn't even know what this was. We said, is anybody going to care? And we wondered if people were going to be invested in it. And we got our answer. People are invested in it. Maybe it came at the expense of gameplay, but boy, people are really worked up about the OTT.
Yeah, and okay, so in regards to this question, let's go back to Big Brother Canada 2 when Canada was the HOH and we lost our good friend Andrew Gordon. So I enjoyed that. It sent the house in a frenzy. They didn't know what was going on, but it was only because they didn't expect it. In Big Brother Over the Top, maybe next season, if America's Nom, or there is no America's Nom, or America has less weight, it'd be fun to do that. But if America has the same weight that they carried this season, I think that would just be overkill and too much of American influence on Big Brother.
Melissa, you want more America or less America moving forward?
Less. I definitely think we need less America because, I mean, there was just no chance for anybody. It's like, if you were not on the side of America, like, you're out. So I think that they just need a lot less involvement, or else, like, back to what I had said a few podcasts ago, like, let America get evicted. If they, you know, let the house guests vote America out. If America wants to act like a house guest, let them get evicted like a house guest.
How about this for a pitch for BBOTT2? What about the return of an America's player that, Melissa, you're saying you want America to be evicted? Could we see a return of the Eric Stein twist where we have somebody playing as America in an OTT season?
No, please no.
No.
Poor Eric Stein. Poor Eric Stein.
Adam's shaking his head.
Okay, so I was in the shower today, and obviously I was thinking about Big Brother, as normal people do in the shower. And I was saying, okay, what winner could I compare Jason Roy to in Big Brother proper? And the only person that came to mind was Evil Dick. And I know this would kill him. He would roll over in his bed, not grave. But Evil Dick would be so upset that I just compared him to Jason Roy. But America had a big influence. He was a jerk at times. I think it adds up pretty well.
Yeah. Evil Dick has been a real never Jason on Twitter, so I don't think he would care for that.
Exactly. Yeah, he definitely would not care for that.
No, he would not. Okay, let's keep going. Here's a question from Stephen H., who wants to know, which Survivor season theme would you most want to see in a Big Brother season? Is there one? Would a Millennials versus Gen X?
I guess blood versus not blood. Jeez, bronze versus beauty versus brains. Because I feel like that would be fun. Because I don't know. I've always wanted to see a Survivor twist where it's like two tribes starting off, or Big Brother would be two teams where they compete in challenges against each other, and then eventually they merge. So kind of like the pre-merge in Survivor, and translate that over to Big Brother. So it's not as much a seasonal theme, but I think it'd be cool to have like either two tribes or three tribes, and in Big Brother they'd be teams, and see how that would affect the dynamic of the Big Brother house and how they're all living together.
Didn't they kind of do that with the Cliques?
Yeah, but you mean the Cliques was you were talking BB11?
Yeah, like with the, you know, how it was like the nerds versus the cool kids and versus, I don't know. I mean, I think that'd be interesting. I think I personally want to see heroes versus villains. I think that it'd be really cool to bring back, you know, the old characters and have, like, you know, you got Dr. Will as like a villain, maybe, even though he's not really a villain, but you got Zach Rance, you've got all those. I think it'd be really cool to just get all those guys back in here, especially the big personalities.
And the only difference I guess it had with BB-11 is that they competed individually. So I think it'd be cool to see like Big Brother team competitions, like where they actually go against each other in a Survivor type competition.
I mean, but didn't we have that with the team twist this season?
But weren't they still competing individually? Like Frank won it for his team instead of like half against half. I don't know. It's just a little different. I think it would
add a new
dynamic.
Yeah, I do think that there is something that they've done in teams that they've done teams of four, where I feel like that teams of two, I think would be interesting, where you could win immunity for your side of the house. I think that that's something that I think we've thought that they were going to do that at different points, but we haven't ultimately seen that. Amy Shapiro in our patron Facebook group had a question for you both. If you were slated to be on a episode of the podcast, who would be your dream guest for any season country of BB, whether or not they've been on the podcast before? And let's take Dr. Will off the table.
Yeah.
Because that would be my answer.
Yeah, oh, that'd be great.
Alex Kidwell is going to be reaching out to him shortly, though. So in terms of your ideal guest, Adam, who would you have?
Marvin from BB5. That's who I want on the podcast. I think he's hysterical. Everyone said how funny he was. He was funny on the show. I say we do our best to get him on.
Not everyone said how funny he was.
Very true. Not everyone. Some people did.
Some people said how funny he was. Melissa.
I'd do Brittany Haynes because there'd be so many jiffable moments and she'd be so funny. She'd have her little quips. I think it'd be great.
Okay, that would be a good get. We have not ever gotten her. She does not seem to express any interest in being on Robin's podcast. What gives? Why, Melissa?
I don't know. I mean, God, rude, first of all. Second of all, I guess she has a kid or whatever.
Yeah. Speaking of Brittany, my favorite Brittany Haynes moment ever was when she was in the pool with Ian and they were both drunk. I don't know if you guys remember that one. It was just so fantastic and they were like dancing up and down. It just made me love both of them that much more.
Okay. Let's take a question from the Kelly Lynch wants to ask, what was Cornbread busy since Monty came back to the BBOTT house last night? So explain what was going on here with the return of quote unquote Monty, Melissa.
Well, apparently they're losing it in the house. Actually, Monty tweeted that out. I mean, if Monty's tweeting out that they lost it, then, you know, something's up. But they created a dummy Monty. They used a sweatshirt.
No, I believe that was he came that way.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, that was him.
No, sorry, I'm making a Monty joke.
To say, you're calling Monty stupid?
Yes.
He was the one who went after Jason, though. You can't call him dumb if he went after Jason, right?
I guess not.
He was smart.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, Melissa.
No, that's okay. I was just getting to the best part, which was the condom face. And that was a beautiful drawing, actually, by Chrissy. I was actually very impressed, and it took a lot of time for them to do it, but they have all the time in the world while they're in the house right now, so that's what they do with it, is they just create a former house guest.
When you say condom face, what do you mean by that?
I mean, they blew up a condom, so it was like a balloon, and I did not know I'd be speaking about condoms on this podcast, but they blew it up, so it's like a balloon, and then Chrissy drew on it. It actually looks very accurate. So I was very impressed.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know. Let's take another question. This is from RJ. Would Justin's fans vote for Morgan? That's been something that's been talked about in terms of Justin saying that he does not want his fans to vote for Jason. Even if Justin says that that's the case, Adam, do you think that Justin fans would vote for Morgan if Justin does not feel great about Jason winning?
I don't think so. I think, first of all, anyone with a true Justin fan, they'd probably abstain from voting and just ride the waves or ride the saddle till the falls off or whatever he kept saying. But I think that most Justin fans are probably fans of the late night jamboree if they stuck by him this whole time. And I think they'd vote for Jason. And I don't think one week of them fighting is gonna make people want to vote for Morgan over Jason. Of course, you probably got some people who would. But I think for the most part, the Justin fans are going to stick with J. Roy.
Melissa, do you co-sign?
I kind of disagree, just because I think that Jason and Chrissy have been very, you know, harsh about Justin this week and talking a lot of smack about him. And I think that he feels so alone and sad. I mean, to the point where he's like talking to his bed and his objects around his bed, saying hello to them. Like, it's sad. And the only person who's reached out to him has been Morgan. So I feel like Justin fans will probably see that and be like, you know, the only person who's nice to him, he's telling us to vote for Morgan. I think that they're not going to be happy with the behavior of Jason and Chrissy this past week. So I think that there's a good chance that they actually will vote for Morgan.
Tell me if I'm missing it. Is there a loud Justin contingent that's been out there? Because I feel like I have heard Jason fans. I have heard Danielle fans. I've certainly heard the Plastics Ball Smashers fans this season. I do not recall. I feel like I've seen people isolated say, oh, I'm a big Justin fan. But I don't feel like that there is any sort of organization around he doesn't have a good ground game, is what I'm saying. Is it out there? Have you guys experienced it?
No. Yeah, it's for me, it feels like the big fan bases are like the Shelby fan base and the Danielle fan base. But I feel like a lot of people who like Justin, they're like, you know what? I like his personality, but since he hasn't been this crazy big player and he hasn't won all of these competitions, he hasn't really given people a reason to really get on the Justin train. So, and with that being said, like, I don't think that there are going to be people who like Justin enough where they're going to just sway as he sways. And if he tells me to vote for Morgan, I like Justin, but I'm not going to do it because I'm not this hardcore Justin fan, and I don't think there are a lot of them out there.
Okay.
I think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that at the beginning of the game, Justin was like kind of in the middle and he was floating between the two sides. So I think that a lot of the time people picked a side and then they were like, and I also like Justin. But yeah. I don't think Justin was ever anyone's like number one or his favorite because he really wasn't a big part of the game like the two sides were.
Okay. Haiku Fishback, what strategy has Jason had? I haven't seen any strategic thing from anyone all season. I mean, I've certainly heard this argument made against Jason. I've talked about how he's won the veto when his back was against the wall. But in terms of really giving a concise explanation of Jason's strategic game, could either of you make the strategic case for Jason?
Well, I think that he has done a great job of keeping his side intact. There are so many opportunities when they could have been swayed by other people or, you know, kind of broken apart and gone to other alliances or formed new pairs. And instead, he kept them all very close together. And I think a lot of that had to do with the bashing of the other side and making sure that a divide was seen. And I think he knew what he was doing when he made sure that people stayed with him. And I think that I think that's a great strategic move, is keeping your people close to you and keeping them loyal and keeping you guys united against an enemy.
And I think what he also did that we have to kind of give him credit for is he really did try to make, and he was possibly considering being loyal to the alliance of Alex, Scott, Jason, and Justin. And he did try to work that for a little bit. And then, of course, it got a little foggy in the middle. But yeah, he really made sure that his soldiers were his soldiers. And he did talk about his struggles at home and his financial struggles. And that was, and I don't know if that was strategic or him just speaking about his life, but there was a reason that Danielle and Chrissy both said, you know what, we'll be okay. Like, let's root for Jason one, which is the most absurd thing to say if you're in the Big Brother house.
Well, I just think that he recognized that the way that this BBOTT was being played with America, there really wasn't room for a lot of strategy. And I think that if he had gone, you know, balls to the wall strategy, like, I'm going to try and play this like a normal game and I'm going to put you against you and, you know, kind of go all out like that, like, people, he'd be out right away. So I think that he recognized that he needed to kind of tone down the strategy and just for this sort of game.
Yeah, and what confuses me so much about Jason is because he realized that strategy is going to be stifled. Like, obviously, when America's involved, as a fan, you know strategy is going to be stifled. But then why wouldn't he say, okay, if I can't really play as much of a strategic game, I'm going to up my social game and play a fantastic social game. That's what I don't understand, why he didn't do that when he realized he couldn't be that all strategic on a Big Brother over the top season.
Yeah. It's frustrating because he definitely knows the right things you're supposed to be doing in the house. And I just think that social game where he can really only be that person who is liked by his allies. I think that that's that's a real weakness in his game in terms of being able to reach out to the other side. And I think that he is, he knows what but he's so good with his allies in terms of keeping them loyal. And we saw him also persuade his allies to make moves that were not in their best interest at times. Go back to the double eviction where Danielle was ready to send Justin out of the house and he gets a hold of her and he gets her to change her mind. And ultimately, Whitney goes out at that point. And I just think that he's so gifted in that way, in being able to persuade the people he's working with. It's just that he has this, you know, gaping flaw where he's so mean-spirited that it really does hurt him in the game. And he can't hide that part of his personality. No. And I think it would really hurt him if he was to play in a traditional season of Big Brother where he might end up being on the block. And you know, who's to say maybe it hurts him ultimately in the vote because he's been so mean-spirited about people and we have the live feeds and we've heard everything that he has to say. So I think he ultimately will be the winner, but I feel like that if he could perfect that, if he could figure that part of himself out, I think that he could be a really great player of Big Brother.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think that's his biggest hindrance.
Yeah. And you know, look, hopefully, you know, maybe who knows, he wins this game and he's not so angry. But I feel like that's probably the kind of thing where it just, feeds into whatever, you know. I've found that success on reality TV does not necessarily fix a person's character flaws. Often it magnifies them and only makes them worse. But hopefully in the case of Jason, it turns out to be something where he can sort of like take a look back like, boy, I really made a lot of people mad this year, and maybe it's something I need to keep more in check.
And especially since it's Big Brother Over the Top and America's deciding, it's not a jury of 9 people or 7 people voting on him. It's America saying, okay, Jason, like, we're rewarding you with the game, but he's still going to see all the tweets and the Reddit threads and about how negative he's being perceived. And I think that's going to really be a wake-up call to him.
Yeah. I mean, he's an interesting person because he lost the game once before, and then to come back and win the game, you know, Tyson always talks about that you want to go against people who didn't win who won the game in their first time because they don't know necessarily what were the mistakes that they made. And so maybe perhaps Jason has learned game mistakes, but I feel like that there's probably a lot of character mistakes that he can learn from this season. But, you know,
is that why Tyson went to the final two with Jervis and Monica?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Let's take another question. This is from Amy Shapiro. Being a returning player is not a huge advantage. True or false?
False.
Okay. False. So I'm going to take the word not out of it. Being a returning player is a huge advantage.
Yeah, it is a huge advantage, especially when you're playing against all newbies. And I know it's a different game, but there's two reasons why it's an advantage for Jason this go around. One, he understands the dynamic of the house, and of course they're different characters, but he understands how you have to play the game of Big Brother, and these people are all just watching a TV show. They don't know what to expect. And then two, he has an audience. He has a built-in audience, like someone in this competition that keeps getting a lot of hate on Reddit. But he has a built-in audience, and it's perceived as unfair by everyone around him. And you know what? Like, that's helped him a lot in this game. 5 out of the 7 America's nominees has went to the Ball Smasher, not the Ball Smasher, the misfit side because of Jason. Chrissy was possibly the most hated house guest of all, and she didn't get put on the block because she was aligned with Jason. So it is a huge advantage, especially on Big Brother Over the Top.
Melissa, do you agree being a returning player is a huge advantage in this season?
I think it's a huge advantage in this situation where you're playing BBOTT. I think that it's a disadvantage when you're playing it in a normal Big Brother game because, I mean, you saw last season that everyone was like, we need to target the vets. Like, that's what we need to do. And a lot of the vets got out right away. And so I think that, like, this is a very different scenario because you've got America voting and he already has a built-in fan base. So I think that it is a huge advantage in this situation. But I think normally not so much an advantage because people also could have watched the season and got to know your game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Nicole and James made the end, though. So, like, they were the two returning players as well. And somehow, with the odds stacked against them, they made the end in a regular season of Big Brother. So I still think it's an advantage, no matter what season.
I think they made it to the end, but not because they were returning players. I think they made it to the end in spite of them being returning players. Mm.
I believe that in this season, and for most of these players that come back in this type of situation, it starts off and it is a disadvantage. We saw Jason go up on the block in week one. He had to play his way off the block by winning the veto. And yes, he did get help from Danielle, and that comes because of his social game, that he garnered a lot of goodwill from the audience, being seen as an underdog in that week after being voted into the house. So it started off and it was a disadvantage. It became an advantage as the weeks went on and on and on, and people saw him as this person like, oh, if we go against him, you know, he has an audience that or has a fan base that could potentially strike against us. So I think that it starts off bad, ends up being a good thing for Jason in the end. So it's sort of like, you know, that he's got to ride that bull for a couple of weeks, and then ultimately it becomes a positive for him.
Do you think that him starting off bad is just starting off the week one with Monty bad? Because, like, I feel like starting off bad would be, like, the first few weeks. Like, after week one, he was fine.
Yeah, but people also got to see what happened with, you know, going against him. And I think that for Jason, I think especially in this particular game, and you see it in these other returning players that, you know, there's always somebody that sort of speaks out against, you know, whether it's, coach, we are, you know, we no returning players this season. And
Christine,
you know,
poor girl,
Christine Markoski. And, you know, you have people like, Francesca, sort of like, and Christina Kell talking about they don't want Boston Rob around. So either that idea takes hold and you have people trying to throw a challenge to get rid of the returning player like Russell, or it doesn't. So it could go either way, but you really need to get in good with those new players and make them feel like, you know, you are there for them in the beginning of the game. Okay, let's take a question from Brett. Isn't the way to win BBOTT being charismatic? I mean, that goes back to what we were saying with Jason, where he's lost people. I mean, isn't it true at this point? We don't know what the way to win BBOTT is.
I think at this point in the game, when they're at the final three, I think it's a great idea to be charismatic. I think that people should be trying to, you know, make the feeds exciting and fun and just be funny. But I think that clearly, like, that's not the way to win, because, I mean, we've already lost so many charismatic people throughout the season, and now we're left with, you know, like Chrissy and stuff. So I think that, like, the charismatic stuff only gets you so far.
Okay. Adam, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah. Well, I don't necessarily agree that being charismatic will help you win, because I think Shelby would have won easily if she was in the final three. And I don't think Shelby was over charismatic. She was just funny. People related to her. She was herself in the game and in the diary rooms, and that was cool for people. People enjoyed watching that. So I think there's also crossing a fine line, because the way Morgan, I feel like in the beginning of the season, probably to the halfway point, Morgan still wasn't comfortable. Alex was in the house, and she was really putting on for the diary rooms and being over charismatic. And in the beginning, I feel like that definitely hurt her.
Okay. Let me just ask you guys some questions that I have that are a little bit off topic in terms of purely BBOTT. Let me just ask you guys, why do you want to podcast about the live feeds?
Well, I'd like to podcast about the live feeds because, first of all, I watch the live feeds anyway. Second, I want to be able to talk with people about it. I think it's so exciting to get to talk, you know, and just share ideas and be a part of the conversation. And I can't do that in my everyday life, so I might as well do it here with, like, the best place to do it. So, you know, it's just always something that I've been interested in, and I just didn't know how to get involved in the community or anything before this. So, I mean, this has just been an amazing opportunity.
Adam, why do you need this aggravation?
Oh, yeah, I love the aggravation. But I think because with the last few years, with I started on YouTube and I try to create this platform for myself. And I feel like that the person I was molded on the internet can't just talk about Big Brother Survivor, because a lot of the people who do watch my YouTube videos don't understand Big Brother. They don't watch Survivor. So this is kind of would give me a platform to get my thoughts on Big Brother and also talk to some knowledgeable people. I think the LFC had a big part in this because, of course, watching them and watching you guys all the time, you feel like you get to know the people behind the podcast microphone. So, like, I was like, oh, I'll fit in really well with these guys. Like, that, in my opinion, that's why I wanted to do it, because I thought I'd fit in well.
Okay. Being part of the LFC, especially this season with the OTT, has been very trying for everybody involved because of how you know, hot the tensions have run. there are a lot of people that are on, you know, Twitter and social media who either have favorite members of the LFC, have favorite people in the house. They may not agree with what you're saying. That how would you deal with negative criticism, Melissa?
I would deal with it like I deal with any negative criticism in my everyday life. You know, either you can, you just don't take it to heart, and you can, if someone responds to you with like a good argument, I'm a lawyer, I have to, you know, talk back. And, but you talk back in a respectful way, and you can, you know, you can say like, you know, I respectfully disagree, or you can say, you know, you have a good point. I'm very open to hearing other sides, and I'm not set in my ways. And I think that, you know, I deal with this sort of stuff every day at my job, so it's not going to be anything different.
Adam, what about you?
Well, I've been compared to Donald Trump in this competition numerous times, so I think I've been hit with a lot of shots in, and I could take it. Like I, and not only, of course, there's negative criticism and there's constructive criticism. The negative criticism, like putting myself out there for years, I'm used to it. It happens, and I take it in stride. Like I really wanted to do reacting to bad Reddit comments about me and like reading like Jimmy Kimmel does. I was really looking forward to that, but I didn't want to get anyone more mad at me, so I didn't. But I'm used to it. I could take everything they're going to throw at me. And on top of that, like, you have to be able to take what people are saying. Like, even if it's negative, somebody goes, I hate this guy, he sucks at podcasting, he talks too fast. Well, I do talk too fast. So from reading those comments, I'm trying to work it into my podcasting ability to maybe talk a bit slower and calm it down a little bit. So you have, like Melissa said, you have to take it in stride. If you take it to heart, this isn't the industry for you, though.
How would both of you deal with, obviously, that you guys both got to the end of this competition? Many votes were cast for you, and many votes were cast for the other person who is here with us on this call tonight. So how would you potentially win over the people that did not vote for you, Adam?
I feel like that's a part of my 2-day campaign trail. I don't want to reveal any secrets yet. But obviously everyone's saying I'm only here because of my followers. Like, I understand it. Look, I'm not going to say, you guys are so wrong. Like, I get it. All I could do is keep trying to prove myself as a Big Brother fan, like over being a YouTuber or an internet, whatever you want to call me. So I'm a Big Brother fan before I loved Big Brother long before I made videos. And like, all I could hope is people judge me on the fact that I'm a Big Brother fan. But yeah, I'm not going to shy away from all I've been getting.
And I just want to reject that idea of that, because I've read that also, that Adam, because he has a social media following, that's the only reason why he's here. The reason why Adam has a social media following is because he's good. It's the other way around. It's not necessarily like he's somebody who bought Twitter followers and, you know, they're just like, why are we even following this guy?
Yeah, but I feel like putting yourself out there, like, and having followers, like, since I was in high school, it's people say, oh, you're not being yourself, you're acting like this, you're buying followers. And at this point, it's funny to me. And if I took it to heart, like, this is what I signed up for, putting myself out there. If I didn't get hate, if I got hate and was upset about it, then that's unfair because I signed up to get hate.
Yeah. All right, Melissa, what about for people who did not vote for you along the way? How would you handle criticism you might find from those people?
I would just handle it. I'd take it in stride. I would, you know, I'd try and, if they have constructive criticism for me, I would absolutely try and work on it. And, you know, there are definitely going to be people who don't like me, which is sad, but you know, like, that just happens. I know that there are some very, you know, prominent viewers of your podcast that don't like me. I mean, I know Edmo doesn't like me, and I hear questions from Edmo all the
time.
Calling
out Edmo.
I don't mean to call him out. I swear, I'm not trying to call him out. I just, you know, I know he doesn't like me. I would like him to like me, but I really loved his Pokemon question. But you know, you can't win over everybody. You just try. And so you just do your best and, you know, take it in stride. So that's all I can do.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say to all the listeners also that, you know, these people have been subjected to a lot of abuse, and all 10 members of this competition, which was poorly conceived and constructed on my part. I really did think it was just going to be all fun and games. And I didn't really imagine that people's feelings were going to get hurt along the way. And so to you both and to everybody else along the way, I really do apologize for putting you guys in this position where we have to have, you know, winners and losers along the way. But I really do appreciate everything that you two have both brought to the table. And I think that whatever direction we go, we have an embarrassment of riches that we've discovered throughout this competition.
This has been an absolutely amazing opportunity. I mean, it's basically been podcasting boot camp. I have done more podcasts in this past like couple of weeks than I've like ever even thought about in my whole life. So this has like been just amazing. And it's, I mean, everybody that you had on the podcast was just so great. And it was sad to see everyone go. I wish that everyone could be here, but you know, it's been a great experience. So thank you for giving this opportunity to people. Seriously.
Yeah. And it's been real cool. And I think at the end of the day, the coolest thing is if there was anyone who has an ego coming into this competition, it's going to be checked. Like, you're not leaving this thing without an ego. And another thing is podcasting is tough. Like, the first podcast that Team Kidwell did, we got bashed because they said we couldn't keep a conversation. And, like, it was so difficult realizing that, okay, you're not talking to an audience. There's three people at most talking to you. And you got to keep that conversation up. So podcasting is not an easy feat. It's just been a hell of a ride. And I appreciate everything that's happened. Even all of the Trump comparisons, which I'm not the happiest about. But thank you, Rob and Scott and everyone and Melissa for going up against having this nice little battle between me and you. It's been fun.
I don't get it. I don't know why have you gotten Trump comparisons?
It's honestly, okay, it's not for any like political views. They're saying, okay, we have a female that's very qualified and someone who decides they want to be a podcaster overnight and they have a following in the past. So you know what's going to happen is all the Silent Adam voters are just going to come out of nowhere who don't know anything about the politics, or they don't know anything about Big Brother, and they're just going to push them through. Okay, like, and I don't really think
that's what happened with the election, that people were like Celebrity Apprentice fans that said, hey, I'm going to vote for the person though. I recognize.
There are a lot of Celebrity Apprentice fans.
Rob, yeah. You are really underestimating the Celebrity Apprentice audience out there.
Yeah. That's clearly what happened. We can say it now.
Omarosa's
Celebrity
got a lot
Apprentice
of fans.
I don't think that's what happened. I don't think that's
but that's what they said, so I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Jason Roy, too. I've got compared to Jason Roy, like, which it really does. There are a lot of tweets to you have been said, like, you're really going to do this so you think you could podcast competition while Big Brother Over the Top is going on, while Jason's having this unfair advantage? And I'm like, I guess you're right. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. That I could see more than Trump. Yeah. That makes a lot more sense to me. Just a couple other quick things that you guys talked about so many different things with Mike Bloom, but what other podcasts do you guys listen to? Do you guys listen to any other podcasts? And no is an acceptable answer. Yeah. Rob, you're killing it so much that you make so many great shows that I don't need to listen to any other podcasts.
There's one on NPR. It's called How I Built This, and it's about like the creator of Instagram was on there. L.A. Reid was on there, and it's about how they built their business up from the ground, and it's just really inspiring and cool to listen to how a lot of people have failed before they created these billion dollar companies. So that's probably the main one I'm listening to right now. And there's also one. It's called Dear Book Nerd. I'm a big reading guy. Like, I'm a big book nerd, so I like hearing about books and people asking for book advice. So other than Survivor and Big Brother, and obviously Rob has a podcast that I venture out to. The book world and the entrepreneur world.
Okay. Melissa?
I listen to your other podcasts. I listen to Survivor. I listen to RuPaul's Drag Race and The Bachelor when those are on. And then I was obsessed with Serial, like, for the first season. I just, like, couldn't get enough of it. I was, like, on the subreddit, like, just crazy about it. But other than that, I listened to On the Block while that was still going.
Me too.
One.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I liked that one a lot. And then I listened to this one, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, this is very fun to get to know you both. I do hope that no matter who the ultimate winner is here, that I would love to continue to podcast with both of you. So hopefully we have other things in store. Would both of you be interested in podcasting about things besides Big Brother and the Big Brother live feeds?
Well, I want to do a happy endings podcast with Mike Bloom.
Okay.
That was happy asked ending. About on Twitter, so I would love to do that. So if that's an option.
I'm ready to ride until the saddle falls off. I'm cool with whatever.
Okay. All right. Well, we will have the link up after the show, and we will have that on the post on robhasawebsite.com. So go ahead and cast your votes. Then we will huddle up together with the executive committee, and we will have a decision for you by Thursday night by the finale. Let me give you guys both one last chance for a closing argument about why people should cast their vote for you. And I'd prefer to keep your closing statement about why people should vote for you and not get into why they should not vote for the other person on this podcast.
Do you want
to
go?
Oh, I was just thinking ladies first. Like, it's up to you. It's we're both being too nice here, aren't we?
I know, right? No, that's fine. I'll go. I just honestly, this has been such an amazing experience. I've had so much fun doing it and getting to know everybody who's involved and getting to actually talk with people in the community. I think that it's been really great to finally feel like I'm a part of it, because I just felt like for all this time I've been on an island. None of my friends watched the show. You know, my family wasn't watching BBOTT, and I just felt like I had nobody to talk to. And I feel like this is like, been so awesome to be able to just like talk about something that I love so much, and that like a lot of people do not understand why I love it so much, but like I do, and I don't know why, I can't explain it, but it's just been so great, and I just would love to keep doing it. And yeah, so vote for me.
Okay, Adam.
I'm gonna read like a quote from my favorite author. His name is Tony Danza Fan 69 on Reddit. It boggles my mind that anyone can listen to Adam and think he's a good podcaster. He's complete and utterly awful on their microphone. He says nothing original whatsoever, and his voice does not translate well, and his jokes effing blow. Now, Tony Danza Fan's not voting for me because he thinks I suck, and that's the reason he's not voting for me. If you don't vote for me, I hope it's not because I'm a white male, and I hope it's because you think I suck. Thank you. Vote for me and vote for the goat.
Okay. All right. Well, very fun to get the podcast with both of you. And this was a very interesting and I know intense show here tonight. So thank you both. And thank you for participating in this competition. If people are looking for you on Twitter, of course, Adam is at Adam Bongo. If you're not already one of the many followers of Adam.
Oh, my God. Thanks, Rob.
If you're not already. And then Melissa is at It's Melissa with 3 A's, which yes. I have to be honest, Melissa, not a great Twitter handle.
No. No. At the time it was like whatever, but now that I have to say it out loud, it's like you can't really say it. So it's like it's have Melissa.
Have you considered changing your Twitter handle? Let's just sort of brainstorm some Ooh. Ideas. What about at Queen Melissa? Have you considered that?
Well, obviously that was my first choice. It's Queen Melissa.
Are you nervous that people are going to get you confused with Melissa from Fiji, that she didn't ever even make it to the game? That could possibly happen.
Possibly happen, you know. Yes, so.
That's possible. How about at Melissa Rodriguez?
That's an option.
or
Joey would support.
Yeah. 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 At 50 is new Coco Calypso.
Yeah. 50 is the new Coco Calypso. I love it.
Yes. Okay. All right. So, we've got some ideas out there. All right. Do we have a hashtag for, I think we could just probably just go with our, hashtag SYTYCP. Let's just keep okay. keep it simple.
Keep it simple with yeah. Long acronym.
We won't go with hashtag condom face like Taryn is suggesting in the chat room. This is a family Taryn. Podcast biscuit. Okay? All right. So Great job to you both. So many people to thank between the LFC for all of their hard work behind the scenes, working with the teams, also to Scott St. Pierre, Jordan, and a big shout out to Ali Giancola, who helped me with getting organized and really scheduling everybody throughout this process. So really appreciate that. And of course, the Tabulator for all his hard work behind the scenes. Really did put in a lot of time confirming these results that we've gotten along the way and making sure everything was on the level. So great job by Kurt. Thanks to you guys also for going with us on this crazy ride of, we probably did what, about like 10 extra podcasts here in the month of November. And I know that we always had a good showing and a good turnout here in the live stream and in the chat and also listening to the podcast. So thank you guys as well, going with us on this crazy journey, and looking forward to seeing how it all plays out. Again, Melissa, Adam, thank you both so much for going all the way here to the end.
Thanks so much for having us. Seriously, this has been amazing.
Such a cool experience.
Well, we will be back on Tuesday night at 10 p.m. when we know who the final three will be. We will be joined by Alex Willett. I will also be joined by Taryn and Alex Kidwell on the podcast on Tuesday night. And then we will be back with more BBOTT talk after the finale. Jordan Parhar will be anchoring our live coverage of the finale of OTT. And then I'll be back again on Friday to give my take on everything and hear from you guys there as well. So take care, everybody. Have a great night. And hey, it's Cyber Monday. Don't forget Cyber Monday Deals Week. RobinsonWebsite.com/Cyber Monday or RobinsonWebsite.com/Amazon. Take care, everybody. Bye.